Creates. It's your girl Chantel from No Class Podcast. I will be joined later in the episode by Anthony J. I wanted to give a quick update with you guys and let you guys know that we are in the process of recording our newest season and we will be premiering it very soon. This episode is very special and we did like a planning session, so it was kind of impromptu. I decided to press record and see how the conversation flowed. Myself and Anthony J have always thought to bring you guys the unfiltered conversations, and here's another one. Just wanted to let you guys know. Stay tuned for our newest episodes premiering soon. Yeah, what were you saying, Anthony?
So yeah, I've been reading Activist Pleasurism by Adrienne Marie, and it's just been struck the right balance that I've needed in making this connection of freedom and liberation in our body, and like you were saying, not sex just being sex.
Yeah.
About the way that we kind of imprison ourselves by not like depriving our bodies of what we need. It restricts us from the type of relationships that we want to have. And I think the main thing I'm learning is the power of intimacy. And I think that's what I want to tap into, because intimacy doesn't have to be sexual. And especially there's like not conversation about intimacy for men. And that's regardless, just like men intimacy for like yourself, intimacy with like other people that are non-romantic, that are romantic. I don't see that written from a lot of men. I don't see a lot of men talking about it. So like, I'm really excited to get into it and in this search, hopefully find other men who are curious about it. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that's what I got my eye on. I'm like, this looks like an untapped field, or this looks like there's like not few of us here. And
absolutely. You know. What's that book again?
Pleasure Activism.
Pleasure Activism. Well, I put the power of pleasure, and then a whole bunch of stuff showed up. So you wouldn't believe.
She also has a podcast too. She has a podcast with, I forgot who the other co-host is, but okay, she's dope.
I think I like what you said too in terms of intimacy, because I'm still like, I feel like for me, when I decided to write in a, like, intimacy journey, and that was journal, and that was around like the end of 2019, like beginning of 2020, especially everything going on with the pandemic, like that was something that I really integrated into my my life. And I talked about it with a few friends and they started doing it too. And I created like a little like a Google Doc for like the intimacy journal prompts and stuff. And I've kind of like walked away from that too. But I feel like for Black women, it's also super important. Like, yeah, we are celebrated for, well, now we're celebrated for our bodies, and you know, there's controversy around it too, especially with like the BBL craze, you know, and I mean, I'm saying BBL craze and making light of it, but like that is a super dangerous procedure to undergo also. But I just feel like that's an act of revolution for certain Black women like myself, you know, like I've deprived myself of intimacy to be strong, you know? So I feel like that's a super important conversation to have anyway. I love that you, are thinking in particular about men, because I definitely think that that's something that needs to be had. And I feel like the conversation that can be had with men can open up the floodgates to have those conversations with women too, especially like Black women. You know, I'm seeing a whole lot of like think pieces and stuff. I didn't even know we were about to get into this little conversation, which is why I started recording, but I'm seeing a whole lot of think pieces and stuff like critiquing Black love. And you know, the critiques are like super adequate. Like, you know, we want to celebrate Black love and relationships like between Black people and Black queer people. And actually Black queer people aren't even celebrated in the Black love space either, you know? So that's another thing that we could talk about too. But have you seen that show Black Love? Have you ever watched the documentary?
I think because it's like, it was like 2 years ago or something.
It's been ongoing. Like they have a show on OWN, and they're producing other content on YouTube. And
I think I've seen like one episode a long time ago.
Okay. I think the content is like really profound, but also it opens up the the way for criticism, because a lot of what is being shown is struggle love. And we don't want that to be a common theme in Black love, period. You know, not only that, but it like it's just it's crazy. So that's why I'm like, I want to bring it back and not get too like off topic from what we were just discussing too. But just to say that it is super important for this to be a conversation. And I'm so proud of you for like even wanting to venture into this space, because like you had to have a certain level of intimacy and realization with yourself to even be like, yo, like I lacked this, or there's something there's missing here that I want to explore. And I feel like this could be super helpful to like my brother, or like, you know, my homeboy, or like my friend, or like my boyfriend, or whoever is in my intimate space. Like this creates a space for me to connect more with people and build community. So I think that's super dope.
And it's like, it's so much credit to No Class, right? Because so many of our conversations about this was here that we were curious about, but then actually got to have with like everything from like sex coaches to people living poly lives to like all of that, that like has like brought us here. And then like even you talking about your intimacy journey and all of that. And it has helped. And I'm gonna speak for both of us, because I can see it in you too. And being like, I need to constantly do these check-ins and make sure that like I'm moving in the direction that like I said that I wanted to go in before I like impulsively jump into something or make a mistake. It's like these constant check-ins. And so like when I am like still saying like, oh no, I need to be single, it's not I need to be single because like I want to be a hoe right now. And it's because there's things like intimacy is one of them that I need to keep on exploring and figuring out a little bit more before I want to be like in partnership with someone. But I think that we often pit that timeline, it's not by like, did I do things and like my growth or my development before I'm ready to be in a relationship. I think people often will be like, well, it's been a year and it's time. And then I think that you talking about the struggle of like sounds so key, because then that's what you have. You have like struggle love because people did not do the time to do some of the individual work. And not to say that some of that work can't happen in relationship, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like you said a couple important things that I wanted to like add on. Like not only do you do want to make these changes, but it's important for you to not regress. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Max about that. I told you he came in town and I had a conversation with him about that. And I've been having a conversation more and more about that too. It's like my journey right now is like, I've reached a point in my journey where like, I know what I want. Sometimes it's not clear, but sometimes it's very, very clear. And I feel like I gotta stand 10 toes down on it. You know, like I can't waver. But also the reason I can't waver is because you don't want the Chantel that used to be me. Cause she was not pleasant. Like, I don't care if I gave you a smile or a hug or whatever, like she was not happy either. Okay. She was not as happy as she is now. She was not as free as she is now, you know? And I don't want to regress and be in any form of a relationship that stifles me, or like from friendship to family to romantic love, nothing is going to stop me from elevating besides me, you know? So I don't want to regress. I don't want to get into a space where I'm accepting something that I knew was a boundary, like I used to do before. And I completely am like, you know what? No. Like, it's time to settle down, Shane, and like build and do these things that are so uncharacteristic of yourself. You know, I want to be myself fully in all my spaces, period. Mm-hmm. No regression. Like, I just want to be me, because being me has gotten me so far. Being someone else has gotten me a little further. But why be someone else when there are so many opportunities for me to be myself and like progress? You know?
And I totally get that, like, this is you don't want the old me. And that's what's best for everybody. It's not just me saying, it's best for everybody. Like, the old me is not good for, like, anybody in this situation. And it's wild how, once you're looking at it closely, how you can be tempted.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, I've had times where I've been like, oh, I realized I used to do that, and that was toxic. And people would be like, well, I'd let that slide. And I'm like, no, I'm tempted to be toxic. I'm like, nope, nope, it's not good for nobody. Let's not do this. Like,
yeah. I know a few people who are trying to, like, navigate relationships in, like, their 30s and being older. Like, they didn't marry when they were younger. Like, they didn't, you know, do things that were necessarily, like, conventional in a sense of, like, the marriage, the kids, and things like that. And they're still working on their journeys, but they're with partners. And now they're like, the time's ticking, like, it's biological, like, clock time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they're still in spaces where they don't feel fully seen or fully heard or fully understood as an individual. And not only that, because, yeah, you could be in a relationship where you're not fully seen, fully understood, and fully, you know, realized, but also you're not in a place to articulate what is needed to move forward so that you can be fully seen, fully realized, fully, you know, in a healed space, and your partner can accept that and open themselves up to being like, okay, this is how I can change, or I'm not willing to make that change, and this may have to be how we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm seeing that so often. Like, a few of my friends are like telling me about that. And as much as I am like, oh, I want to be in a relationship, or oh, I want a partner, or I miss like having somebody to cuddle with, or like be held or hold or whatever, hugs and kisses and things like that. Like, as much as I miss that part of intimacy, I'm not giving up my personhood for that.
When I tell you that is so key, and to allow myself to say, sometimes I'm like, especially right now, the pox are out, COVID's still out. It's so easy to be like, ooh, I want to just be like bunned up in the house with somebody. But I have to say to myself, that doesn't mean that you're ready for a relationship or you want a relationship. I want a moment, like, and I want like a moment with somebody, or I want a moment of intimacy, or I want to love on somebody. I want somebody to love on me for like a moment. It's not something that I want for extended time. And like, that's not fair to myself or for other people. But like, years ago, I couldn't acknowledge that. And I was like, I used to just tell people I'm flaky. One day I may want you, the next I may not. And I'm like, no, that's what it is though. Like, and like honoring, like, this is what I'm craving for right now. And that's very different than having something that's a little bit more permanent or longstanding.
Yeah.
And that's not talked about either.
Yeah, just notice how you change the language, though. And that's what I'm trying to do a lot of. Like, you know, just change the language. Not I'm flaky, but yeah, like, I do crave certain parts of intimacy, but this is also something that I'm not really ready to take on is like, or commit more time to right now. Like, maybe something else is going on that I'm committing more of my time to, like, building or like pushing through or something. So I'm not committing my time to that. And it's okay to admit that. Like, we're not having that conversation. We're having that conversation right now, right here, but it's not a societal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we can make that a societal conversation, but how do you know unless somebody is speaking on it, period?
Yeah.
You know? So
rare.
It's rare, but it happens. It's rare, but it happens. Rare does not mean it does not exist, or that it does not happen. It just does not happen on the platforms that we're subscribing to. You know, you gotta search for those platforms. Like, I curate my spaces so that I see what I want to see. You know, I was just telling a few of my friends that I'm just not interested. I know fully that I'm just not a dating app person. I cannot connect with anyone via dating apps. When it comes to me using my phone and using social media, like texting, phone calls, social media, anything, those intimate connections that I get through those phone conversations and things like that, it comes because I know this person in person. And I was just like, I have to just admit that. So now I gotta go out more. Like, I'm just gonna challenge myself to go out more and to be in spaces and try to connect with people, even though I see people on their phone a lot. But I'm gonna crack that. You know what I'm saying? Like now I'm forcing myself to learn how to flirt. Like it's weird. It's weird, but I'm working on it. I was telling my friends a few days ago too. I was just like, you know, like I'm working now in a bigger space where I'm seeing more people often, and I'm like seeing some cute guys sometimes. And I told my friends, I was like, now my flirting is like, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
And she was like, so you've been flirting with me this whole time? I was like, I guess so. Cause I always ask you how you doing, you know what I'm saying?
Oh gosh.
But it's the way you say it though.
It's the way you say it. Oh gosh. Say it.
And it's the buildup behind it too. Like I have some extremely awkward conversations, but at least I'm trying.
That's the key. That is the key.
You know, so some of y'all guys out there, if y'all see me trying to have a conversation and it's extended beyond a hi, I might be flirting with you, okay? I might be flirting with you, you know? But because it was a couple
stick
guys.
Stick in the conversation to find out.
And it was a couple. Now, that's true, okay? You got to stick with it, all right? You got to commit, okay? But I was telling that same friend, I was like, yeah, it's a couple guys at my job. And normally, like, I stop dating people at my job just because it gets close. But these people, I don't really see that often. So I'm like, yeah, I gotta still date somebody at my job now. And so I was telling my friends, I was like, yeah, we do a little medical flirt. You know what I'm saying? A little medical flirt. I don't know what the hell that is. But I just feel like, you know, I'm talking medical with people. You know, I'm just like, putting a little razzle dazzle on it with the eyes and stuff.
Gloves fitting you pretty well. Look at that latex across your hands. Okay,
you got some cute nails or whatever, or like, you know, like you got a nicely manicured hand with no ring on it. How you gonna put a glove over that? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the hell I just said. What did I just say? But I'm trying. So it took me going through what that intimacy journey and still being open to me and like, hey, I need to connect more with self to even get to the realization that like, yo, apps don't work for me. And I can't force myself to be in an app space because consistently I am a person who likes to connect with people. Like me and you, Anthony, we could not have the connection that we have via Zoom if we had not met on in person, been in each other's spaces and like had more of a bond with each other in person.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't connect with people online. When people were doing like AOL and like Black Planet, right? That was what it's called, Black Planet? Yeah,
Black Planet.
Okay, no, but like when people were doing that when we were younger, I could not do that. I was like, man, I'm outside. I'm on the playground. Like, I mean, how old were people when they were doing that? Was it playground age?
We were like pre-teens. We were pre-teens teenagers.
I feel like I was outside still riding my bike or whatever, you know? That's what I feel like I was doing. I feel like I was at Putty Hill. I was at Skate Land or whatever. Putty Hill is like a very popular skating rink in Baltimore. I was out Skate Land with my homies, you know what I'm saying? With my girls, okay? And the guys were skating, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I was doing. I wasn't on chat lines and stuff because I never gravitated towards that. The people who I was like on AOL or anything with, it was like people from school that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So that only like, that has not changed about me. I don't even get on the social media as much as I used to, like when everything was first hitting the fan with Instagram and everything. So for me to have a conversation with somebody and like really build and connect, like that ain't happening. Mm-hmm. I'm not on there frequently enough to like be in flow of the conversation. So I'm like, this don't even work for me. So it took me getting to the stage that I am in my journey to be like, all right, you really got to go back outside. Now that, you know, places are open, like you can be careful. I did get a booster. You can be careful, you know, still stay, like wear your mask and still stay within your allotted feet and everything. But like, I'm still trying to get to know people and like have conversations. And now I'm challenging myself, like when I'm in a new space to like, compliment someone or spark a conversation with someone that I don't know. Because also when I'm in those like more intimate spaces with people, and if I'm out with my friends or whatever, like I'm just talking to my friends. Like I ain't talking to no strangers. What I look like? I got friends over here. Are you kidding me? You know how long it took me to set up this meeting with my actual friend? The hell? So I'm really pushing myself. I'm pushing myself to be outside more by myself again too. But also when I'm outside by myself, I'm pushing myself to have conversations, or even if it's like one person, I'm like, oh, hey, your whatever is whatevering. I don't know. But, you know, I'm forcing myself to speak and get out of that place, because I committed to being shy when I was younger. And I guess I don't feel like people see that in me unless they really know me as an adult. Like I will stick close to the cloth, okay? But now I'm just like, I really want to connect with people and like network and like get out there and meet people, because I don't know, a cousin of a cousin could be my husband, okay? So I'm really trying to make those connections, but it took me getting to this point in my journey and knowing myself and being intimate and having those conversations, those real conversations, not lying to myself anymore, to be like, Shan, that ain't working. Like you gotta pick up and do something different. So
can I ask you, like in your flirting, what is the different type of maybe mindset or mantra that you're telling yourself as you're doing it, right? Because there's so many things that, you know, that is the before that could have like stopped or stunted you from doing it. And then like, what are you saying now that allows you to like lean into and do it? I guess do it. I'm not even saying more comfortably, because it's probably so uncomfortable.
I completely get your question. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I used to do before. Okay. Like I used to, I wouldn't say stalk, but like, I'm definitely searching. I'm definitely searching. Like I'm looking for you. And this was like before, like, I guess internet boom and everything. Like I would look for people, especially like in high school and middle school. Like I'm trying to be around you more. I would want to be around you more, but, and not saying that I don't do that now. I still do a piece of that, but, before I would want to be around you more, but then I would be like, ooh, maybe this person does not like me. So like, maybe, like, you know how a person walks by, you feel their presence and you're like, I'm not going to look up. And then they walk by and you see their back turned towards you and you looking at them, just staring at the back of their head till they like walk out the room, you know?
How dare you walk out the room when I'm not looking at you?
Yeah, right. Fine ass. I would do that, but I wouldn't speak on it. Like I would be very shy and just be like, okay. Like people, especially like when I would be in relationships or like get to know people, they'd be like, oh, I didn't know you liked me. And I'd be like, damn, for real? That's crazy. Cause I like your ass. Like, you know, I thought I was doing something by even, you know, I'm telling you, the medical flirt.
Oh gosh.
But now I'm being consistent. Like I still feel fear rejection. I do, but I'm not fearing rejection to the point of stopping myself now. You know, if they're in a space where they're not willing to like meet me halfway, then I'm gonna like, I'm listening to, and I'm looking at the cues and the communication to be like, okay, yeah, it's not gonna work. Fine. Unrequited crush or whatever the hell that is, but it's okay. But now I'm committing to it. Like if I see you and I like you, like there are people that I'm just like, wow, he's really attractive. It's rare that like I can find someone cute, but it's rare that I'm like attracted to you and I don't know you well. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I'm finding that in a person that walks by, I'm like, wow, if like your energy pulls me in that way, I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to, I don't know, be awkward, I guess. I mean, I probably feel awkward. They probably don't feel awkward, but I'm going to commit to it. And I mean, I'm going to get to the stage where I'm actually getting numbers, but I'm getting IGs for right now, even though I don't be on there like that.
I mean, that works.
But you can DM me though, because I'm going to DM you. But I've progressed to that point. I'm gonna start getting numbers because dudes still be out here being like, can I get your number? And I'd be like, and then they'd be like, I'll give you mine. And I'd be like, okay. Then I get the option to connect with you later if I choose to. So mm-hmm. I'm using the game from the dudes, even though.
Okay.
But yeah, I used to act like I would like that person. I would be gravitated towards that person, but it would take me a while to like be like, I like you and admit it, because I didn't know if they liked me. And I'm like, if I'm around you more, maybe like what they talk about, friend, like are they talk about me, they think I'm cute, you know, I'm asking around and like not being as transparent, being like, oh, I like them or something. But now I'm just like, if I like you, I'm going to commit to going the extra distance to get to know you, because I'm attracted to you in some way. I had to also understand that like, I'm not always attracted to everybody's energy. I don't care how fine you are. It's just not. And we all feel that way about each other. Mm-hmm. So if I am attracted to you, then that's a big difference. If I hear your voice and it makes me have butterflies in my stomach, or like you say my name just because you're trying to tell me something, I'm just like, you know, like blushing, but like you can't see me blush because I'm a Black woman, all right?
Blushing on the inside.
Fluttery on the inside though. Then I'm like, I want to commit to that feeling, because I don't know what this could be. I've done that with a lot of people, and I feel like I've let a lot of people go because I was scared to follow through with that. And I'm just like, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I could commit to it. So how about yourself? I want to ask you that now. Have you changed anything? Like how you attracting your ladies and your gents?
My environment has changed, and it feels like it has made me, I'm realizing that I need to step it up. And so I'm like you, I could be out somewhere like at a club or somewhere, and it's like, I can see attractive people and might even be interested in saying something, but usually won't, because I'm like, they're at a club, they're at a lounge. And they could be just like me. It happens once in a while, but I know that the likelihood of me wanting somebody just based off of the looks, and even somebody approaching me based off of my looks, I'm like, oh, that's kind of like shallow. And so oftentimes in those settings, I would prefer to be like, now if we were like at an open mic or something that we have like a shared interest in, then I might then. But I prefer if I can get more intel and I'm like, oh, this is a person I may see every once in a while, or somebody knows this person, is like my preferred. And then I'm more likely to make a move or flirt or whatever. But since I'm in Atlanta, I'm not in an office, or I'm not in a place that I have to be all the time that I'm seeing the same people. And so there's like, usually like, oh, there's somebody, and this is the one time you may see them. You gonna make a move or you not? Yeah. And so that is not, while I've inched and got better at flirting, that's like a bigger jump for me, that I'm like, okay, I need to like do a different mindset in order to do that. And so just this weekend, I was out with some friends, and we were at this museum party. And we had
seen, how cool is that? I don't want to venture off, but like, what the fuck is a museum party? That's kind of lit. Can we describe that too before we get into the story?
Yeah, they do this. There's this museum called The High, and every first Friday, you can, if you're a member, which I'm probably going to be because I'm gonna go numerous times, it's free, $25. You're not a member, come in. They have this big, like, I guess the ground floor, I don't know, main floor. And there's a DJ over where like the balcony is. And then you walk through where there's like more exhibit space, and there's like another DJ, bartenders and stuff. And so it was dope because I was actually like, I don't know if I want to go. I don't want to get dressed up. Me getting dressed up in the summertime is a thing because I ain't trying to be hot. And then my friend was like, it's really come as you are. And like, it really was. So it like was a nice balance of people being dressed up after work. Some people like, casual but intentional, not like I came in my sweatpants and pajamas, but like
these sweatpants match basically. I got joggers.
I'm doing a casual intentional like look or whatever, and probably about ages were probably like 25 to like 40 range, so it was like a good age range. probably about 75% people of color, 25% white. Women were looking fine as shit. Like when we got in there, we was just like, I was like, the people in here are fine. And my friend was like, actually, it's just the women. I was like, it really is. They are really looking a lot better than the guys in here. But anyway, so that's the setup. And then you can kind of go up the steps and check out their exhibitions or just stay on the main floors where the music is going. Yeah. And people were like dancing. So anyway.
Yes. Okay. Continue. That's a vibe.
So we were like, it's lots of people in there had noticed him with his friends. And it's like, oh, okay, like whatever. We go to a pizza place afterwards and he's at the table with his friends. Everybody at the table is now that I'm sitting with is bunned up. So they're like, oh, what do you think about him? And I'm like, oh, here we go, y'all. I was like, oh yeah, I saw him earlier. Like he's okay. Like he was okay. And we're still sitting there eating. And he yells over to us. He was like, y'all want some? And had a bottle of wine. So let me give you this setup. There's my friend that is from New York. Other friend who's becoming my friend that's also from New York. And his now partner, I think he's from like the South, from North Carolina or something, and me. What we often talk about is just like the South and how they do things that is strange to us in the North. And one of those things is being too quickly. Yes.
Up top.
So when he was like, you want some? My friend was like, no. Like, where the fuck that come from? I don't want to drink from your bottle. Like, I don't know you. So my other friend was like, stop. Like, because he just said it in a rude way, but it was like, I don't know. It's COVID and shit. You want me to drink from your bottle? Like, what? So then I was like, no, we're good. And he was like, oh, okay. He said, don't I know you from somewhere? And I was like, no. That was it. He was like, oh, okay.
Shot that straight down. Hey.
My friend was like, what is wrong with y'all? He was like, he was clearly trying to flirt with you. That was a line. And I was like, after it happened, wow, I was like, it was. I was like, but what you want me to do with that?
That's a very common line too.
It is. And I was like, but what you want me to do with that line? Say, yeah, we went to high school together. Like, so he was like, dang. He was like, are you really not that interested? I said, no, it wasn't a shutdown. I'm not like, ooh, I really want to, but it wasn't like a hell no. So then we conveniently bumped into each other back inside of the restaurant. And then I switched and got his IG. Cause I kind of felt bad. And then
because
I know him. And we had small convo. We switched IGs. And I was like, okay, cool. But I was just like, no, I don't think that I'm interested though. I'm not actually gonna like DM or anything. But situations like that, I'm like, okay, like I can do that. That doesn't feel as much of a stretch anymore.
Yeah.
But like somebody who's not interested or no, who hasn't shown interest or like we haven't locked eyes and it's like, I want to get your attention. I want to flirt is like a new, like another level and something that I'm going to need to create a mantra in my head because it's, I think what got me to what I am now, that it was about the practice. It wasn't about the other person. And I need to get my head there again. As we learned from the great Shan that we always refer to, like, how are you finding someone that is like low risk that you feel like you can be very confident approaching?
Yeah.
And that it's all about the practices and you don't put all the power in. Did they say yes? Or did they say no? Did they accept? Did they reject me or whatever? Like, I need to build myself up to that. So
yeah, that's dope. I appreciate you even mentioning Shan Boodrum because, you know, she's a powerhouse. And the reason this conversation even started is because Anthony is doing like this thing where he was seeking out like a sex. Well, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I just registered. Well, I just applied. I'm going to attend a Down South sex conference. And so it is unlike many conferences that are about intimacy, kinks and fetishes or freakiness, it's Black women operated and it's a majority Black participants. And so I think in general, it's hard to find that community, but I have not been able to find that since I've been down here. So I'm excited to go. Like it's set up as workshops with speakers, with sex workers, like all of that's gonna be present at the conference. So I'm really excited for it. But it's been part of my, like my theme for this year has been sex positivity and trying to figure out how far and how deep that goes for me, and doing more learning. That's from like more books. You can tell that from like the spring season and some of our guests that were on here. Like that's where my mind is for this year. So like, I'm really excited for the conference, and that's what I will be signing up for. I'm trying to see if I get the scholarship or not.
Yeah, I think that's dope. And then prior to me pressing record on it, I had mentioned that, because you even said sex positivity, and I feel like the whole movement thus far has just been, I don't know, maybe that's basically from what I'm been seeing, but I feel like the whole movement has just been about maybe the act of sex. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now it's moving, it's been about sex workers, but now it's moving into like a more, I don't know, I guess civilian space. I'll say mm-hmm. that like an everyday thing, you know. Sex is a super integral part of our existence as humans, mm-hmm. period. Our existence as mammals, as you know, we dig into the science of it all, but human, period. And I was mentioning to Anthony that like this could be well in line with the work that he already does in terms of activism, because sex activism is far beyond the act of sex in general. It is about like what happens as a consequence of sex as well. And we have a lot of headlines and legislation surrounding abortion now. And then now they're talking about limiting marriage for people of the LGBTQIA+ community, or even talking about like trans people and their ability to access certain spaces. I just feel like it comes full circle because of like just the idea of humanity, period. Mm-hmm. And I really am super proud that you even thought to seek out that space. And I feel like I'm happy that you've reached this point in your journey to seek out that space, because that involves a lot of realizations for yourself that you probably closed off to yourself before, when you were younger, when you were growing up, or when you were seeing different things and like, you know, consuming certain media about how men should be, how, you know, especially a young black man or a young black boy should be. Mm-hmm. So I was very proud of that. And I really can't wait to see what that looks like in terms of you moving forward. I feel like you're entering like a new space. And it's cool to see. It's cool to see that this is a space that's created for Black people, period. But it's cool to see you move into that space too, because me knowing you and you know, I don't know everything about your journey. But you're opening up to sharing that, especially sharing that on No Class, like such a huge platform for both of us right now. So that's cool. We were like, I don't know, we've grown a lot.
We really have.
In the show and what we want to share and things like that too. So
it's really amazing. And you had me at, as we're talking, I have our, I can say to classmates now since we're recording, because we didn't plan to do this episode this way, but it's like become a planning session. And I'm adding on here, I don't think that we've specifically had the conversation about body positivity. I think we've kind of like moved into there with some of the topics and touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But especially in the ones where we've talked about masturbation, but like specifically on body positivity, and I'm thinking about the way that movement and how that's gotten to the front, and then
that's changed a lot.
It has. And sometimes it's not married. I feel like sometimes there's a conversation about body positivity and what we're seeing on our screens and what other people are doing. And then there's a different conversation about body positivity and like ours.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's not always connected. So
we did have a conversation previously for No Class. I don't know if you remember, because it's been such a while since we recorded the episode, but we were talking about our bodies and how
with Erica
and how we just grew up thinking certain ways about our bodies and like the physicality of things. But I think you make an excellent point in marrying the two, because they they go hand in hand. They definitely go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Especially when you add in the intimacy part, mm-hmm. you know, and then we talk about the masturbation part. Like we have all these little facets that like leak into each other, but are never talked about as like a overarching thing.
So that was the episode we were talking about. We started on dieting. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. But we all do things. I don't know. Like, people don't understand because it's so downplayed, especially in the United States. Like, we sexualize a lot of things, but then we don't talk about mm-hmm. the expansion of that sexualization. We don't talk about safety in sex or sexualization. Like, you know, kids are sexualized. Like, we don't talk about a lot of like the negativity surrounding it. Mm-hmm. And so I love the sex positive, body positive movements and things, but a lot of those things are celebrations, and that's in the positive, but the conversations need to happen more and need to be a little bit more nuanced than what they have been.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And it almost feels like too that the body positivity, I mean, it makes sense that you have to have like a lot of confidence in being able to do it. I don't see a lot of people working on that journey. It's like they're there. I give no fucks about whatever. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, but they're like, how did you get there? Like, how did you, and not to say that they have arrived and they got it.
Right.
But yeah, I want more, and I thirsted more for like people that are like, I'm trying to figure this out right now and in the moment, and taking some like courageous steps forward and then like some back at the same time. Because I think as a society, we feel like we have to reach a certain level in order, and I know I definitely do, reach a certain level to be like, okay, well, now I am gonna be positive about my body and do it outwardly, and I have to be, but so far to be able to do it. I can't say I don't have it all yet.
Yeah.
And start stepping out in that way.
It's a lifting as we climb type of element. It's like, mm-hmm. yes, I am also seeking answers, but I can also add to the conversation in a way that moves it in a direction that, you know, helps other people. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm going to search for the answers. And when I reach and unlock that new level, like that's something that I can also share, but like, I'm going to keep consistently trying to reach new levels. I don't know it all, mm-hmm. but that does not mean that I cannot help in the space to like, you know, reach the levels in that space.
True.
So yeah, it goes hand in hand. And that's another thing too, when it comes to this conversation, is like, you don't have to know all the answers right now to be fully realize something and then move on to the next level of like realizing something else. Mm-hmm. It don't have to be concrete. We have to be okay with like learning and just the journey of learning and just not knowing all the answers and being okay with saying like, well, I don't know, I haven't even reached that point yet.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that was a point to reach.
Yeah.
So thanks for introducing this, and now that might be something that I'm working on next, or you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah
I want to read that book, man.
It's good. She's interested. She's so dope.
I'm appreciating all these like authors coming out, and they're just introducing me to new concepts that were never discussed when I was growing up. And I'm seeing, especially like for my friends who are parents, and or their parents of like young people, or their parents of like teenagers or like growing teenagers, and we're having different conversations with our younger generations than our parents had with us or didn't have with us. Mm-hmm. Even the act of having like a sex talk with some people is like radical in the family.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just talking to one of my friends, and she was just like, I started having sex when I was like barely was a preteen, and nobody had the conversation with me about sex. They had it with my sibling. he got condoms. Mm-hmm. He was told not to get a girl pregnant, but they wouldn't talk about me. They wouldn't worry about me. I was, you know, having sex way before him. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow. And for that to be like a thing that you're talking about 20 years later or something, and you're like, that still affects me. And now I'm raising my child differently. Like, I can see that my child is growing and curious, and like her body is changing, his body is changing. They're noticing different things about like their voice and like the people around them, and like are attracted in different ways. And like, I'm having the conversation now. So
what you just said just strikes and reminds me of the topic we have for a later episode in the season of respecting your elders. But it reminds me of that because in my family, at least, I think for most families, you're not supposed to talk about sex.
Yeah.
And so it's like, even if I'm not bringing that to the family reunion, and I'm deciding that that's what I want to do, and that's what I want, like, publicly, that I have no problem with it, then, like, it's still perceived as disrespecting them. It's like, you're not even in the room, you're not even present. And there's, like, this conflict of, like, how do we arrive at these things that, like, I feel like I want freedom from it. I don't have an issue discussing it and being my best self in it. But then there's other people in crouching being like, you should not, or this is not right, or whatever. And not just saying the people anymore, saying specifically with elders. And it's like, well, how do I respectfully say, this makes you uncomfortable, but not me. That's your problem. You
know, yeah, like, yeah. Respectfully say it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But,
and I think, especially with you wanting to go to that conference and like the spaces that you'll probably be in, I don't know how far advanced the conversation has gone from like the church,
mm-hmm.
and like sexual identity and like sexualization from celebrating religion or like churchy things. So I'm curious to know like what your feedback will be from that conference, especially because it's a conference yes. in the South, like mm-hmm. very church heavy, very Christian or like religion heavy spaces. And then they're all convening in, they're like coming from different places around, but they're all convening in Atlanta, which, you know, it's supposed to be like a metropolitan. It's still South, but it's more like a New York of the South, or like a mm-hmm. San Francisco or LA of the South, or something like that. You know, when you go to other parts of Georgia, that's still the South. You know, it's like Miami. Miami is the South, but it's Miami. Mm-hmm. When you go to other parts of Florida, that's the South, you know? So I'm curious to know what those conversations are going to be like in terms of people understanding and identifying with their families, their elders, respectable members of their communities and stuff like that. That definitely is a key part. We're going to have to get into that conversation when it comes to the Respect the Elders episode too, because that's super important. Like, you know, especially like being able to say to my mother or something like, my boobs hurt because they're growing, and you not be ashamed and like be like, oh my gosh, she getting mosquito bites now or something like that, you know what I'm saying? And like thinking like your child, because your child is sick from, like, this is an experience I've had. Mm-hmm. Like one time I was really like feeling really sick. I was like 15 in high school, feeling really sick, wasn't having sex. And I was like cramping really bad from my period. And I was like, my parents were never like, you stay home if you're sick. They're like, you go to school, and if you're sick, you're gonna come home. Okay. I'm like, I respect it, you know, whatever, but you go to school and you go every day. If I'm going to work, you're going to school. All right.
Okay.
Fair. But that day I couldn't get out of bed. I just felt super ill. And my father thought I was pregnant. And I was like, I ain't even fucking, like, I don't even know what you're trying to say. A nigga really just like need a hot pad and like some Tylenol. Like, I'm just really feeling queasy and sick because of my period. And like, you know, I don't know what to do about it because mm-hmm. this is something my mother has never been affected with, or like somebody in women in our family have never been affected with. So, and I'm like, if you would have just asked me, I could have told you. I ain't fucking, but how, you know, I wasn't going to come to you and tell you that either. Because I didn't feel safe enough to come to you and have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But my mom told me, and I was just like, I don't even know. I was like, little do they know. I'm not even doing none of that. I could stay as far, like, I was liking people, but I was like, I ain't even trying to be all in your spaces like that. And then just to think about me going through high school, like, I never really, like, if I liked somebody, sometimes I never wanted them to know because I never wanted it to build up into something where I had to tell my parents, like, I'm dating. And then they think that I'm not trying to be serious about my academic life and that I'm all into boys. Another part of the conversation that I didn't even know we were going to get into, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to touch on this. Yeah, everybody got a glimpse into our planning session, and you got an exclusive look into our planning session. That's what's up, classmates. What a good way to start the season.
Yes.
All right. Well, it has been a while, so we need to remind you of all the handles to follow us, to be in touch with what's going on for No Class social media. First, we're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, and Facebook and IG as No Class Podcast. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, of course you do. No_class podcast. Tumblr, we're No-Class Podcast. Gmail, you can email us at no.classpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, leave some comments, some feedback. That's where you can do that as well. But you can also give some great feedback and give some great stars to us on iTunes. We love all the stars. We love all the great comments. Appreciate that. And if you would like to show some real support, show a little green, we're accepting donations to continue to build No Class Podcast. And you can do that on our Anchor page. There's a donation option. Anything else to add before we close out?
No, I said it all.
Okay. Y'all stay hydrated, melanated, and glowed up, and we'll see y'all next time.
All right.